Let's go to John chapter 14, and this is where we're going to be at in the beginning, and then we're going to go to the book of Matthew. But John chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. The reason for us going here is because I want us to look at what Jesus said. And what Jesus says, I'm not sure about you, but carries some heavy weight. You can put them inside the box. Carries some heavy weight. And there's some truth to what he says, because Jesus is the truth. Everyone say it. Jesus is the truth. So John chapter 14, verse 26, and Jesus says, "But the Helper, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And today the Holy Spirit's going to teach you some things if you're listening. So don't just la, 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 I don't want to hear it. No, open your ears and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus is not just speaking to the disciples. Today, as we read this, Jesus is speaking to us in this room. He's speaking to us today. "Peace I leave with you, my peace." My peace, Jesus says, not somebody else's. And he even says, not as the world gives. The world tries to give you ideas of how to find peace, ways, methods, plans, solutions to your problems that will bring you peace. Let me tell you, Jesus says it here, not like the world gives you. I give you this peace. And the remarkable thing is that Jesus gives the best kind of peace, the only kind of peace that you need. And it's him, because he is the Prince of Peace. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Father, we thank you for your word. Let it speak to us. Let it change us. Let it poke our hearts, Lord. Let it reveal, Father God, what needs to be, what we need to repent of, what we need to change, God, and give you control over, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. Let me get the first slide, Joe, if you don't mind. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. This is why when he says, "I will leave you peace, I will give you peace," he will give of himself. This is why we ought to look to him for peace, not the world, not fortune cookies, not horoscopes, but Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 16, 33. Again, Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to his disciples, but he's also speaking to us today. I encourage you, just say that to yourself. Jesus is speaking to me today. Jesus is speaking to me today. He says this in verse 33 of John 16. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Listen to what he says. "In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Everybody lift up your hand if you've had a problem this past week. A problem this year. A problem in your lifetime. We all go through problems and difficulty and tribulations. We go through difficult times. And then he says, "But be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. Be happy that my car broke down? That happened. Be happy that my car broke down and I got to, pay to get it fixed? Be of good cheer. He says, "I have overcome the world." You know, when Jesus says, "I have overcome the world," this is the mental picture that I have. This box is tribulation. And you know what? When Jesus says, "I have overcome the world," he stepped over it. The things that go on in this world, he's overcome. So why not look to the one who's overcome the world instead of looking to the world for peace? See, because the kind of peace that he can give to us is the kind that the world won't trip us up. The world won't take away. The world won't have anything better. How can the world have anything better than what Jesus has to offer? His peace. He's overcome the world. Therefore, that's why he says, "Be of good cheer." If he gives peace, because the world can't, we ought to look for it. We ought to hold on to it. We ought to hold on to it like it's as if it is. There's nothing else, because there is nothing else better than that. His peace doesn't expire, never fades away. So as long as we learn, now listen, as long as we learn to have it and to hold on to it. Last week I mentioned about joy. How many of you guys ever had joy before? Right? You know what? You might have put the blame on somebody else because you lost the joy, but the blame ought to be put on you. You see, because you've allowed whatever joy God wants to give you, you've allowed the things in this life or other people or what other people say about you, you've allowed that joy to just be taken away. God gives us this joy, just as he gives us this peace. And so we are to learn how to hold on to it, how to have it and hold on to it. Let's learn of Jesus today. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus, again, he's talking. Jesus is talking to me. Jesus is talking to us. He says in verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all those of you that are just, you've carried so much and you can't go any farther. Come to me, all of you who, you just dragged yourself in here. That's how difficult and bad you've been having it lately. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Amplified Bible says it this way, starting in verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals, by religious or earthly rituals that provide no peace. And I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Follow me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You will find renewal. You will find blessed quietness for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light to carry. You know, Jesus tells us to die to ourself daily and to carry our cross. And a lot of times people don't understand what that means. Die to myself and carry my cross. I don't have a cross. I got a cross on my keychain. I got a cross on the shirt. There's a cross hanging outside my house. But what does he mean about carrying my cross? To surrender of yourself and to follow him. What he says, you believe. What he says, you do. What he says, you follow. And he's speaking to us today, and he says, come to me, all of you who are just dragging on in here. Come to me, those of you that are carrying such heavy burdens. Come to me, those of you that are allowing the situations of your life to burden and bog you down. Come to me, I'll give you rest. But you know what certain people do? It just goes over their head. They try to find rest in so many other things. Without him, Jesus says, we can do nothing. This is why it's important that we learn of him. We learn that he is peace, because the peace that he wants to give us is something that we can hold on to and never let go of. Believe you me, there are many times, especially this past week, that I have allowed the joy of the Lord and the peace of God to just slip through my fingers. I didn't hold on to it. I just opened my hand. I mean, if you hold something, if you're holding on to something and you're holding on to it like this, it won't, unless it's water, but, you know, if you're holding on to something and if you don't open your hands, it'll still be in your hand, right? I've tried to put $100 in my wallet and just leave it there to see how long it'll stay. I tell you what, the moment you break that $100, it's gone. You know, scripture is true. I mean, you know, you try to hold money in your pocket. I mean, it'll grow wings and fly away. It won't last long. Nothing in this world will last long. But what Jesus gives us, it's worth to hold on to. It doesn't vanish. It doesn't fade away. It doesn't expire. It doesn't grow mold. It doesn't have rust. As long as we hold on to it. But you know what happens? The things in the course of life, we begin to just open our hands. And it falls out. And we open our hands because we're afraid, we're fearful, we're angry, we're hurt, we're sad. And we open our hands to try to grab something else that might give us peace or joy or compassion for. And that's what we do that's wrong. We open up ourselves to other things instead of holding on to the one who gives us peace, to the one who gives us rest. So this is why Jesus says without him, we can do nothing. Nothing of eternal value. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things in the world today. World Vision, they're doing a lot of things. But luckily for World, not I wouldn't say luckily, but good for World Vision, they stay true to their focus. World Vision is an organization, a charitable organization. And that they feed the hungry and they clothe the homeless. They help those that need medicine. And this is what they do. But the important thing about World Vision is that they stay true to the focus that Jesus is that Jesus is their Lord and God is their God, and they will, you know, adhere to the scripture. So there's a lot of charitable organizations that do great things, but without Jesus, we can do nothing of eternal value. Paul, the Apostle Paul, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. He understood and he learned of Jesus. He understood what peace was. He understood how to be, how to have peace and how to walk with peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. You didn't have the opportunity, but yet you still showed that you cared. Not that I speak in regard to need, because listen, this is what I've learned. Whatever state I am, to be content. I know how it is to be abased, to have low, to not have as much. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that typically, verse 13 is a scripture that we all kind of quote, you know, shout out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We got t-shirts. There's bumper cars. There's bumper stickers on cars that it says, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But are you learning that? It's okay to buy a $16.95, you know, shirt that has that on there, but are you learning of that? You see, Paul says here, he's learned that if he's lacking, he's content. Let's go to that word content. The word content, it means in the adjective form, to be in a state of peaceful happiness, to be at peace. In a noun form, it means to have satisfaction. To be content is to be at peace, satisfied, have tranquility, lack worry. This is what Paul is saying. To be content, I have learned. It just doesn't happen because you sit in the second row, fourth seat from the end, or the last row, second seat from the door. It just doesn't happen. Joy just doesn't land on you. You read scripture and the Holy Spirit convicts you of what you've been searching in the world, and you realize God loves you and God has sent a gift, and you accept that gift. And by knowing who Jesus is, you're filled with his joy. You're filled with his peace. You're filled with love. I mean, because Jesus is love. Jesus is peace. Jesus is joy. And so when Paul is saying this, understand he says he's learned. It just didn't happen. You come to church. You don't become a powerful Christian just because you came to sit in that seat. But you learn what the scripture says and you adhere to it and you apply it. And even though you messed up and you fell for the 50th time, yet you realize, because your heart is open, your ears are open, you realize you've sinned and said, oh God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for having that attitude. Oh God, forgive me for saying that. Oh God, forgive me for, Lord, help me put a metal plate over my lips. God, I speak too much. God, help. And you begin to repent. There's something that happens. It's not just in your mind. Oh yeah, you know what? I got to get that taken care of. I'll take care of that next week. No, right now. Repent. And apply God's word to your life, and you grow. You learn what it means to walk with Christ. You learn what it means to have a Savior who is Jesus Christ, and you learn of his peace. So he learned to be content. Doesn't come natural. He learned, therefore he was able to instruct us. So let's go to the verses above verse 10 and 13. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 9. He learned, therefore he was able to instruct and encourage the people there, and he's encouraging us today. He says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Don't worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, Paul, he didn't get this message it wasn't a newspaper clipping. He got it because he learned of the Lord. He learned from the Lord not to be anxious. Not to worry, but in everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. By prayer and supplication. That's just asking God and talking to God. Talk to God. Make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. God, I thank you that you hear me. God, I thank you. And I'm not speaking to that wall. You are here with me. You hear my cry. You hear, even though it's sounding, Lord, like I'm venting or I'm whining. God, I need your help. Cover this mouth. God, I need your help with the person that I work for. God, I need your help. You are making your requests being made known to God with thanksgiving. God, I thank you for that job. God, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my husband. God, I thank you. And it says, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, listen, will guard your heart and minds through the one who gives you peace, Jesus Christ. Through the one who is peace, Jesus Christ. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. These, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things are who Jesus is. If we'll get to learn who he is. For most of my childhood, I just knew that Jesus was a guy who was hanging on a cross. He was the guy on the crucifix that my was on the necklace my mom was wearing, that was on the little wooden plaque in our hallway. I mean, that's all I knew who Jesus was. He is more than that. He's alive. He's no longer on that cross. He's alive. He's no longer in the tomb. He's alive, and he gives me life, joy, peace. I mean, he fills me with all that he is. But we are to learn that. It just doesn't come natural. You don't just snap your fingers and poof, all that stuff is in your heart and your mind. Oh, so now I know how to live and walk my life and bring glory to God. God's peace affects our attitudes. Can I hear an amen? Amen. God's peace affects our mindset. God's peace affects our actions in the midst of trials, tragedies, and storms. How we respond to them reveals how much peace we really have. And let me tell you, this week, I had a great opportunity to see how much peace I had and how much I needed more of it. I don't think any of you in this room can say, I'm on full. I don't need more of God's peace. I'm good. No. I think every day we need more and more of him. We need to learn of him more and more. To be patient. Oh, God, Lord, I need your help, Lord. Yes, to be patient. And some people don't like to pray for patience. I always say this. If you're not praying for patience, you're not asking for more of the fruit of God, for more of Jesus, for more of God. And a lot of people are like, I'm not praying for patience. Please do not pray for patience for me. I don't need patience. Yes, you do. We all do. Yeah. If we want more of God. If we want more of who he is, if we want more of the spirits of the Holy Spirit growing in our lives. So it affects our attitudes and our mindset. The disciples had an opportunity to reveal how much of God's peace. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The disciples had this opportunity to show how much faith, how much trust they had in God, in Jesus. And this was kind of like on the job training, walking with Jesus. It was on the job training where they were learning as they were walking with him doing ministry. And there were many times that he corrected them. But when you spend time with him, when you talk with him, when you listen, you are actually learning what to do and what not to do. Am I right? When you are actually listening, a lot of times we don't listen. We just do all the talking and expect him to change us. But how can he change us when we're not listening? He can't force us. We must listen, reveal, to be able to see what's actually going wrong in our life. Repent and then change. So it says in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Right then and there should have said to them, they're getting to the other side, because Jesus doesn't lie. Master doesn't lie. He says we're going to the other side, so we're going to get to the other side. He says he'll be with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So what problems and difficulties and tragedies did you have that you thought he forgot you? That you thought you were alone and by yourself? That you chewed all the fingernails and because you were worried, because you were frantic, because you were scared? When you took matters into your own hands, you forgot what he said, didn't you? He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're in the middle of a tragedy, I mean, I know it's kind of hard to hear, be of good cheer. It's kind of hard when James says, count it all joy. Yeah, right. Yes, but you know what? Still count it all joy when you fall into problems, trials, and difficulties. So here it says in verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern. He was in the back of the boat. Those of you Navy guys, I got that right, right? Stern's in the back. Yeah, I checked on that. All right, so he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. He had a pillow. He was asleep. There's a windstorm. Waves were beating against the boat. The boat was filling with water, yet he was asleep. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Can I have that video, Joe? In that moment, they were afraid. In that moment, they were afraid for their lives. What are we going to do? How many of you ever had that feeling? What am I going to do? Where's the money going to come? What am I going to do? What decision do I have to do? I mean, do we have to go to the doctor? What am I going to do? It's kind of like this. It's just raging waves. I mean, the waves were coming into the boat. Lightning. I'm picturing lightning, thunder, waves. And they're scared. They're afraid. This is all they saw. Again, Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. And he had a pillow. I wonder what the pillow looked like back then, of course, you know, but he had a pillow. And this is all that they saw. But when Jesus woke up and did the miraculous, he changed the scenario. And a lot of us would love Jesus to change the scenario just like this, right? You want the everything to just be hunky-dory and everything gone. Your troubles gone just at the snap of a finger. Man, that would be awesome. Well, in your mind's eye and spiritually and in faith, you can continue to look at that. Go to the next video, Joe. Or you can choose. Just look at that. You see, when Jesus woke up, he did the miraculous. He changed the scenario. And that there was no need to fear. See, with Jesus, the water was like that. I mean, it'd be really relaxing to be on a boat. You're in the middle of the ocean. You're crossing the other side. And you're just chilling in the back of the boat and you're sleeping, just snoring along. But you know what happens? Go back to the video, Joe. I'm sorry. He says, "You're killing me." We can choose to look at that, or we can choose to look at the waves, the thunder, the waves crashing into the boat. You see, this is the reason why Jesus spoke to the wind and the waters. He said, "Peace, be still." It was a Rhema moment for me this past week as I was just going over what Jesus said to the wind and the waters and not to the men. You see, the wind and the waters, they have no choice. It has no choice. For the wind and the waters to listen to Jesus say, "Be still." Peace is what he said. Be still. But when he couldn't speak that to them, to the disciples. The disciples have to choose. You and I have to choose. Will we continue to look at the waves that are calm? Or will we continue to look at the problems, the difficulty? Because the longer you look at the problems and the difficulty, the more you're going to walk not in the peace of God, but in the peace the world has to give you and the little bit of peace you have left. But the more we look at to Jesus, the more we look at him, for he is peace, we're not going to see the problem. We're going to see that he's a provider. We're going to see that he's the healer. Hallelujah. We're going to see that he is our friend. We're going to see that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're going to see that the blessings of the Lord add no sorrow to it. We're going to see that who Jesus is, there is nothing to worry. So you know what? Yes, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're going to be able to see situations like that. And a lot of times, just like certain people, they just don't understand why you're still living for Jesus Christ. How could you be living for God? Such and such and such things have happened in your life. How can you still have joy? How can you still smile? How can you still go to that church? How can you still give? How can you still stay away from us, because I'm walking and living with the one that's overcome the world. And I have the peace and I have this love. I'm learning of him. I'm learning from him. We all have our moments of unrest. We all have our moments of peril. We all have our moments of fear. Joe, we're going to go to the slides now. We don't have to go back to those videos, but we're going to go to the slides now. You know, many people just want to find peace of mind. Slide one. Many people just want to find peace, and they'll try to find peace with just, you know, a certain chant, a certain place to go, just to find peace. This second slide. Just to try to find peace. I'll just just go off somewhere. And I'm not knocking. Well, I guess I kind of am. But the people who believe that, they're trying to find peace or power or tranquility or strength within themselves. You're looking to find something within the creation instead of going to the Creator, the one who is peace, the one who is love and is joy. Many people are just, they just want to find some peace and quiet. Next slide, Joe. And this one, you know, this guy's just bombarded. And if you look at the picture above, how many of you would love to live in a house like that? I mean, I didn't get the whole, you know, aerial view, but there's nothing within sight, I mean, of that house. That person was smart to just get away from all the peace and quiet, hustle and bustle, and they are just have the house and there's nothing around. Many people just want to find some peace in their home. Next slide. They just want to find some peace and quiet at home. There's turmoil, fighting, arguing. Some people just want to find peace in their home. Go to the next slide. Many people just want peace in their marriage. Next slide. Many people just want to find peace that will last. Peace. Peace. You know, what just happened, and, you know, in Israel, and, you know, the reports are two people have died now because of, you know, the clashing of what was said about Israel. And it's, you know, trying to find peace and peace talks. Listen, you're not going to be able to find peace. These people aren't going to be able to have peace within themselves until God is directing both parties to just agree. And the reason why I say this is because God is peace. And like what Jesus says, look, I give you this peace the world cannot give. And the peace that I leave with you is the peace that I give to you. And Jesus wants to give of himself. We have to learn of him. We have to learn what that looks like. We have to learn what that means. And a lot of times we don't want to give the inch that we have. Wait a minute, I've already given 4 inches and I've already given in. I'm not giving anymore. When the Lord, if you're listening, the Lord will say, but what if I tell you to give more? What if I tell you to give in more? Will you give in more? Well, Lord, I only give 4 inches and they only give, you know, 2.5. And I think with the Lord, if you'll listen, he'll tell you, don't look at what they do. Don't look at what they're giving up. What am I telling you to give up? What am I telling you to let go of? Am I your savior? Am I your master or not? And so we are to learn of him, for he is the real peace. Jesus is the peace. Some people say that screaming is the best to find rest for your soul or peace or mind. I mean, it's crazy just to scream. I mean, there are people that actually find solace rest in going into a room and just and just screaming out loud. It's Jesus. If you'll go to Jesus and sit by his side, if you'll just read what he says and just, Lord, teach me of you, Lord. Teach me about you. Proverbs 7:17-22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Listen, you can choose whether to have a merry heart or allow your spirit to be broken by what has happened or what other people have done or said. You can choose to look at the waves, or you could choose to look at Jesus, who is peace, and you'll learn to walk in peace. Proverbs 15:13 says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Who makes us cheerful? The Lord does, because he is joy. And if we look to him and learn of him, we'll have joy. We'll be able to express joy and not be broken. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words. Now, there are times that I still need help with pleasant words, that I'm not speaking them when I need to speak them. Joyful is what we can. Joy is what we can find in Christ. Peace is what we can find in Christ. Shannon mentioned this last week in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. This is still true today if we'll just look to Jesus for the joy. We can walk in peace. Listen, I have no idea what difficulty you're having with a family member, a friend, a loved one, a neighbor. What altercation happened? What caused there to be a separation between you and them? But I'm telling you, if you're listening, the Lord will tell you what to do to create peace, to walk in peace. And a lot of times what the Lord tells you to do and the other party is still not at peace with you, you leave that up with the Lord. You be responsible. What the Lord is saying to you, and you walk in peace, you do your part. You allow God to do what God's got to do on their part. But we have to do what we have to. This is why Jesus spoke to the wind and the sea, because the wind and the sea has to do nothing but listen to God. We get to choose whether we're going to listen to God or not. And he tells us, I give you peace, not like the world gives. So let's go back to that horrifying event when the disciples were afraid. Jesus, he's fast asleep. Would you say that he's at peace or he's in turmoil? Peace. Peace. I'm at peace when I'm falling asleep. When I'm asleep, when I'm trying to fall asleep and the kids are, you know, loud and slamming doors and the video, you know, I can hear video games. I got to open the door and say, hey, turn it down. Be quiet. I'm trying to get some what? Sleep. I need some peace. I need some peace and quiet. I close the door, go back to sleep. He's sleeping and he's at peace. And so when he speaks to the water, to the wind and the sea, peace be still. And it says, and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Verse 40. But when he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's the one that gives peace. See, they still needed to learn who Jesus. And these are the guys that were walking with Jesus. So we cannot say, oh, I already know about Jesus. I don't need to know anything more. Yes, you do. Because even these guys needed to learn more about who Jesus was, because they questioned, who is this guy that the wind and the sea even obey him? But they were able to know who Jesus was, for they gave their life for him. They gave their life for the faith that they had in Jesus. The waters have no choice, but we do. Today, you have a choice. There are some pieces of paper. I kind of try to, you know, spread it around. You might still be sitting on one on that piece of paper. But this is where we get to put it in action. You get to put it in action. Hopefully there's some pens in front of you. If not, look to your left or to your right. Someone ought to have a pen with them. But this is your part. On that piece of paper, there is a tribulation. There is a trial. There is a problem. There is a situation in your life that is bringing fear, that is bringing peril, that is bringing trouble to you. Okay? And I know this for sure. This covers everybody. Because we all live in this world, and Jesus says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So this is our opportunity to choose whether we're going to repent of what we've done, say a prayer and ask the Lord to help us, and we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. There's a problem in your life. There's a difficulty. There's fear. There's trouble in your life. Come to me. So in the next few moments, as this first song is being played, I want you to write down what that problem is, what trouble it is, what fear it is, what peril it is. Write it down.